It's Monday, November 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 722, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Yes, here we are. I got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. And I think winter, yes, we kind of have a winter, has come to Hawaii. The temperature is down in the mid-60s. We're getting a little rain. The trades are blowing a little more humid. Yes, I know you're feeling sorry for me, but it is life in Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to, of course, welcome you here to the Geek News Central podcast. And, of course, I want to give just a straight-up warm welcome to all of our Ohana, all of our longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here and staying subscribed. And of course, if you're checking us out from whatever country around the world that you're tuning in, thanks. We appreciate it. And I hope that you continue to do so. Well, I tell you, got a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's been a very, very busy week. That to-do list that I showed you on Monday is a little bit few items left. I only have like two major items left. And it's a good thing too, because my lovely wife's anniversary and our anniversary is tomorrow, and I haven't forgot, but we're kind of at this point being a little bit on the low key side. At this point, we've gotten word from her sisters in Japan that her father is taking a turn for the worse, so we are prepared to basically pack her up and send her home at a moment's notice. So I don't know if I'm going to be making a quick trip to Japan or back or not with her. We're still kind of deciding that, but lots of things going on here. And I guess it all depends on the timing and what events occur. But anyway, it's just basically kind of a waiting game at this point for her father. So we'll keep you advised on that, and we'll let you know one way or the other in the newsletter or on the show. Of course, if you're new to the show, I want to welcome you. Of course, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the show. And doing so, it really is about beyond simple. All you really have to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the subscribe link, the second column of the website. There's the RSS feed, Zune, iTunes, all that good stuff. You can get subscribed. The newsletter is another place where you can stay connected with us by subscribing to the newsletter. You'll get all the content I talk about tonight goes out in email blast immediately following the show. So we encourage you, of course, to subscribe and to get hooked up with the newsletter. That way you'll never really miss a single thing going on here at the show. And, of course, you can watch the show on a variety of venues, every single portable media device, the Google TV. You can watch us on Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Boxy, wherever your heart contends, you'll be able to do that. And actually, I should have brought it in here. It's in my bag. I've got a little bit to talk tonight about the Kindle Fire, because my Kindle Fire came in the mail. Let me actually make a note of that. I wasn't going to cover it too much in the show tonight. Do it a little bit. I'll talk about my experience with it. But, of course, we're available on that on the Blueberry app as well. And being this is my first Droid, it was kind of fun to be able to play with the app that I haven't had a lot of time to really mess around with a lot. And be sure to pick up the Blueberry app if you're on an Android. You'll find it in the either an Amazon store or in the regular Android store. I was pinging on the developers today a little bit saying, hey, I kind of need some tweaks here, there. They're going to, so, you know, that's what happens when you start playing with something a lot. And I'm sure the guys that were not appreciative of me pinging in the middle of other projects, but that's kind of how it works sometimes. Of course, we're streaming live at live.techpodcast.com. And of course, at live.geeknewscentral.com. And of course, we're over at Tech Podcast as well. Hey, I want to encourage you as well to drop me a line if you have any comments on today's show. You can either follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. That's available for you to use 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where you can rant, call in, give us your ideas, thoughts, and commentary. It's definitely a great way to reach out and touch the show in a big way. So consider doing it. Okay, let me go ahead here and look in my stack. Before we get into the full show tonight, I want to remind you that you can go to cafepress.com/Ohana store and get all your Geek News Central wear, hats, jackets, cups, everything over there that you can imagine for GNC stuff is over there, and makes a good Christmas present, helps support the show as well. And of course, we want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we really appreciate having them on board as a longtime sponsor. And I got a great deal for you. If I can switch up the right menu while we're in motion here. One thing that you want to do is we've got a deal going on right now. And this deal really is, it can't be beat. It's their fourth generation hosting service. And what we're going to do is we're going to get you $1.99 hosting for the first 3 months. And this is a great, great deal. It really is. You're not going to get anything better than this. But some of the features are, you know, they're hosted across a cluster of servers. So it's like having a multiple servers support your web hosting account. It scales as your traffic does. You know, it has protection against now of service. Your site scanned daily for malware. You get about $200 worth of free advertising credits. Some Flotilla photo credits as well. But, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what can be done there. And all for $1.99 a month. All you got to do is go over to GoDaddy.com. And you click on the link on the article or in the show notes. And when you're over there, you're going to be able to see a comparison on how this matches up to something like Media Temple or Rackspace or HostGator or DreamHost. We're going to even, and it even goes down through and shows you what you get as compared to those other sites. And then, of course, the 3 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99. And that basically what you get there is you get 10 gigs of space, unlimited bandwidth, 100 email accounts, 10 MySQL databases. You know, I hardly even use 10 myself on my sites. And of course, those ad credits and so forth. But the unlimited bandwidth is the best deal. You know, here you are, $1.99 a month, and then it reverts to $4.99 a month for the as it renews at the end of the third month. But just use one of my promo codes and save more money, and basically use Todd20, save 20% off your hosting order, and that'll get you a bunch of savings there. Of course, you can always go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And find all my promo codes where you can save a bunch of cash on any products or services over there. This is a cool way. This is a unique gift you can give for Christmas, and it helps the show out tremendously when you do so. Matter of fact, keeps the lights on and keeps my family fed, so I definitely appreciate it. Okay, let me go ahead and talk just a little bit here about Saturday Morning Tech coming up. We'll have a Saturday Morning Tech show. I'm thinking about doing a hangout. I haven't touched base with the folks that are normally on yet, so I need to do that tonight after the show. But we'll have a Saturday morning hangout, and then a little bit later, starting at 2 o'clock Eastern, or excuse me, 2 o'clock Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 7 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have the podcast awards ceremony, and that'll be going on for about an hour. We'll have all of our friends in that won. We hope so. There was a large number of shows and they haven't even sent us their information packets yet. So the podcast awards may end up being very short, and I will have some rough things to say about show hosts if they don't show as expected. Hey, we've started to get some donations in for the CES 2012 support. And basically what we talked about on the last show for that was what we're doing is we bring in a lot of support staff and people that are helping us. We, you know, Jack, the guy that, longtime listener of the show, he's run the switcher, he's carried cameras, and he comes out every year to the show on his dime. And I put him up in a hotel, but, you know, everything else, you know, he's come out and supported the show in a big way. We've got Cara, we've got Mike, all the folks are coming out to support the show. We want to be able to help offset some of their expenses this year. And I just want to give you a small idea of what it costs to cover the show. Now, not to mention the gear. The gear that we take is probably the TriCaster alone, $25,000. But if we talk about all the extra stuff, we probably take $40,000 to $45,000 worth of gear to the show. It costs us $1,500 to ship it out, $1,500 to ship it home. We even rent extra gear and cameras. That's about $1,000. We probably spend $500 on cabs alone. Even last year, we had rental cars, we still had a lot of huge cab money. Food is about $300 a person for the week. Hotels are $900 for each person during the show, during CES, because of the cost. That's actually, we're staying off the strip this year. We're actually moving into the actual downtown Las Vegas area to save money on hotels. The internet alone at our booth is $6,043. I got the invoice today. Power for the 4 days the show's on is $400. So it's a huge endeavor. It's a huge layout for us to go to the show and cover it and bring you all this great content. Okay. So what I want to add, and I want to sweeten the pot a little bit, and this is really going out there on a limb, and we'll see if anybody is willing to step up to the plate here. But we've got the $25, $50, and $100 support levels, which were in the show notes from the last show. But what I'm going to add tonight are two new levels. We're going to add a $500 level and a $1,000 level. Now, what's going to happen is if you kick in at the $500 level, I would kind of expect that to be a company or some individual that has a website that needs to get promoted. So what will happen is if you kick in at the $500 level on the show, I'm going to mention and talk about your website or your product until mid-December. If you decide that you are going to want to come in for $1,000, and I'm going to talk about your show, your site, your business until the end of the year. So this is a great opportunity to get some advertising here on this show, very cheap as compared to our normal rates. So definitely think about that. And again, $500 mentions, you get mentions all the way through mid-December. And I'll even throw in some mentions during CES as well. We'll do that when we're up on the live audience and I'm at the show and I'm hosting. We'll even talk about you then as well. So a $500,000 level. So we want to thank those that have already started to send in donations. Those are appreciated at the $25, $50, and $100 level. That's going to help us get to the $5,000 level in a hurry. Okay, so that's what we're trying to raise is $5,000 between now and the end of the year. And we hope that you'll step up and help the show. This is, you know, first time we've really kind of done this. And all the other hosts are going to be talking about the same type of a plan on their shows. And if you listen to some of the other hosts that are going out to the show this year, you'll be hearing the same pitch, I guess. But we think with the content that we've brought you over the past 6 years of literally, you know, thousands of product reviews and discussions with companies, it's worth the small donation if you feel like donating. Okay, so I got the Kindle Fire and wow, it's my first droid, but it's kind of not a droid, I guess, for a better word. It's kind of a hybrid. And okay, for $199, it's a nice little device. It really is. It's you know, I when I was playing with it, first of all, last night, I was kind of like, this thing's slow. So this morning, I took it with me I had to have my car serviced. I took it with me to get my car serviced with my MiFi, and I didn't take my iPad. And I played with it for a couple of hours while I was getting my car serviced. And the apps work good. The web browser's a little bit sluggish. Reading books on it, after you go from the iPad to a little bit smaller, it's a little tricky. But I was able to scale the text good enough. So I got, you know, didn't have to go flip, 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 flip in the page all the time. So I was playing with, played a little music, played some videos on it. Videos were awesome. Played my show, played some other shows, didn't play any movies. But overall, I think it's worth the $199 if you are, depending on what you're going to be using it for, okay? That's the key. And you got to have a Wi-Fi connection to use this thing. If you're traveling with this and you don't have a Wi-Fi connection, it's going to be really tough. But it's not too bad. And I was kind of down on it initially. But again, for the price tag, it's pretty good. It really, really is. And it is a little bit heavy. And I haven't seen what the battery life on it is yet, but not too bad. And if any of you picked up a Kindle Fire already, I'd love to hear from you on what you think of it as well. And basically, what your thoughts are. So drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and let me know what you feel about the Kindle Fire as well. And we might give one away here. Got to decide on that. Right now I'm in cash conservation mode because we're going to be outlaying a huge amount of money at CES. So I'm at this point trying to limit expenditures so that we can make sure that we can pay the rent, keep the lights on, take everything to the show and get back, and still have a few dollars left in the checking account, if you know what I mean. But anyway, we'll decide on we're going to give one away here in a few weeks. It all depends. I guess we'll have to see. Again, podcast award ceremony on November 19th, this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock Eastern. Gadget Professor just put out a new show. Robot Underpants has been putting stuff out on a regular basis. Kind of looking for some feedback on those shows, what you guys have been doing, how you guys have been watching them. I think they've been doing a great job, both Don and, of course, Matt. Matt, the host at Robot Underpants. So anyway, I guess that's it. We'll get into the regular content here in just a few seconds, but let's take care of one regular sponsor message. And you guys are like, my God, this guy's sponsoring us to death. But just remember, GoDaddy and Citrix GoToMeeting keep me moving here. The events that we do on the outside, we have to go way above and beyond what's normally in the budget to do that. And so I hope you understand. Hey, so of course, you know, this is a product. Citrix GoToMeeting is a product that I use daily. And I live in a fast-paced work environment. I have to meet with people on the fly. Sometimes it's in my car. And it seems like recently, every time I'm in my car going somewhere, my phone rings and people must think I'm homeless because it's like all my business meetings have been in cars recently. It's kind of weird. So no matter where you're working, whether it be in your car, in your office, or some other location, other people are doing the same thing. And that's why I use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can collaborate online by sharing your presentation while seeing colleagues face-to-face in high def. Video quality is clear and natural. It's like being really in the same room or same car or same park bench. But all you need is an internet connection and a webcam. It's just that easy. And again, you don't even need a high-speed connection really to make it work. It works great just on like a MiFi device or on an EVDO card. Now, I love GoToMeeting with HD Faces. I can share any document on my computer screen with everyone in just a second. Really, it's basically start a meeting and you're in. And I can see their expressions and how they're reacting to my presentation and vice versa. So with GoToMeeting with HD Faces, my meetings are more personal, engaging, and really, truly more effective. And I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces today. As a listener of the show, you can try it for free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. And use the promo code podcast. Be sure to use the promo code podcast. That makes sure we get credit for your trial. We thank you for your support. And give it a whirl and see how you like it. I'm sure you're going to come back and say, wow, how come I wasn't doing business like that up to this point? All right, let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff here that I've got for you tonight. And I do have a nice stack of tech content. And wow, I talked a long time on other stuff. Let me move on. Let me close this. And let me bring up this. Oh, you guys like Krispy Kremes? some people hate Krispy Kremes. I don't really need any more donuts or that type of stuff from a figure standpoint. And, holidays are coming up and It's a little bit scary right now with the weight situation, but if you want the donut recipe for Krispy Kreme, it's available. I have it linked up in the show notes. I saw that tonight and I was like, I was hungry before I ate dinner. I was like, oh man, those look good. So, non-techie, I know, but I had to share that with you right off to begin with. So if you are a iPad user and you've been using Flipboard, well, Flipboard for iPhone is forthcoming. And the new update to Flipboard today allows you to have personal accounts. So that's pretty cool. It gives the users the ability to sign in and personalize their favorite sections and social networks in the iPad feed reader. And this is pretty amazing. I was pretty psyched. I was able to subscribe to a bunch of shows that and sites that are never carried by those folks. You know, a lot of the sites I read are not the Tech Meme. It's not the TechCrunch and the Gizmodo and all those guys. I read a lot of other sites. And of course, I'm reading my site a lot more too, because my own writers here at Geek News Central are surprising the heck out of me. So I'm becoming a daily reader of GNC as well. And I hope you are too. But it really changed it in the, you can see this part of the menu, but you can actually personalize it. And that's the cool thing. And it took me a second to kind of figure it out. But once I did, boom, I was in there like Flint and then added a bunch of different properties. So it works out pretty cool. Anyway, definitely check out Flipboard. And Flipboard, again, for the iPhone is forthcoming. But personal accounts are in today's update. One thing I do, and it's, I'm always catching links to kind of cool stuff that people are sharing on Google Plus. And this is a pet peeve of mine when I fly. 72.4% of people bring too many carry-on bags through the security checkpoint. Pay the $25 and check the stupid bag. You're going to end up having to check it at the gate anyway. There's not enough room in the overhead. Check the bag, you know, and save yourself some aggravation. And guess what? I've only had bags come up missing once in about 4 years. Now I got to knock on wood here. So I got 2 trips this last year. It's probably going to lose my bags on both. But check the bags. I do. Make your life a lot easier. Today over on MediaBeaster.com, journalists have gotten arrested during Occupy Wall Street because they tweeted about it before they wrote about it. So people wasn't happy about that. He said, if you're going to work for us and you're a journalist for us, you will write about it before you will tweet about it. So essentially, they got their hands slapped. So this whole Occupy thing is a little bit off the charts at this point. It's jumped the shark. Over on Google TV, whew, some cool stuff going on there. Of course, those of you that have a Sony, you've been able to update. Those of us that have Logitech, two thumbs down, we haven't been able to update yet at all. So I'm about... You know, my wife keeps saying, you keep talking about this Google TV. How come it's the same thing on ours? How come ours hasn't updated? What's wrong with this piece of junk? So, you know, because we cut the cord here, right? So, you know, I've been talking about all these cool updates that are coming. I should have kept my mouth shut because they haven't come yet. And, she, you know, so I kind of got the hand on the hip yesterday, kind of looking at me like, are you going to go out and get a Sony so we can see this new stuff on Google TV? And I should be quiet, Todd. But Google TV did introduce today, Google Music is now available on the upgraded Google TVs for those of you that have the Sony device. So now you can stream all your music to the updated Google Music app for Google TV. And hopefully your TV is hooked up to at least a decent stereo. Mine is. I don't know if it's decent, but it's, you know, something I've had for a number of years. But head into the Android market on Google TV and download the app. It's that simple. And you can get hooked up and jam out on your TV if that's your desire. Over on Tech Dirt, the Department of Justice is saying it should be a criminal offense to lie about your age on Facebook. So are we going to arrest 80% of the women that are on Facebook? Or 90% that have lied about their age in their profiles? The law must allow prosecution based upon a violation of terms of service or similar contractual agreement with an employer or provider, said Richard Downing, Justice Department, the Deputy Computer Crime Chief. So then a few minutes later, he says this. The DOJ is no way interested in bringing cases against people who lie about their age on dating sites or anything of the sort. We don't have the time or resources to do that. But he says in the previous comments that if you don't follow the terms of service and you lie about your age and violate the terms of service, they should be able to prosecute you. So I'm sure they'll never prosecute someone for lying about their age, but this could turn into a situation where a 16-year-old puts on the website that they're 18 years old and meets a 20-year-old and end up, because of age issues, age lying, you know, someone can end up in jail. I get to work from time to time with younger folks and millennials. And I always, you know, they're always talking about who they're hooking up with. And, you know, it's typical single guys talk. And I'm always telling them, are you checking IDs? I said, in this day and age, you can't trust nobody. Are you checking IDs? Are you checking to make sure that person that you're talking to is 18 and you're not setting yourself up for trouble? I always get this look, you know, they don't want to hear that, but it's true. It is. Matter of fact, I had a individual tell me, yeah, I went on this date with this gal and, you know, next thing I know, I'm finding out she's still out in high school and she said she was 20. So it's kind of crazy out there. And, you know, parents, tell your 20-year-olds, tell your young guys in the house or that are out and about, tell them to make sure they do that ID check before they get in trouble. Or if they're lying, the Department of Justice will just go after them. The European Union has adopted a resolution against U.S. domain seizures. This is interesting here. The European Parliament has adopted a resolution which criticizes domain name seizures of infringing websites by U.S. authorities. According to the resolution, these measures need to be countered as they endanger the integrity of the global internet and freedom of communications. With this stance, the European Parliament joins an ever-growing list of opposition to the Stop Online Piracy Act. Now, we're going to talk about SOPA here a little bit more later in the show. But as we all know, starting in 2010, the U.S. authorities have seized a lot of domains that they deemed were facilitating copyright infringement. So a resolution on the EU-U.S. summit that will be held later this month stresses the need to protect the integrity of the global internet and freedom of communications by refraining from unilateral measures to revoke IP addresses of domain names. And, you know, if you're going to go after someone, prosecute them the normal way and take them down that way and prove it in a court of law that they're doing what they're not supposed to do. So let's talk just a little bit here about SOPA. Some of you that came over to Geek News Central yesterday probably saw, and I don't have it up on the website right now, but basically if I load the webpage here, I'll kind of be able to show you just on by looking at the screen what you may have saw yesterday. And it rendered in some browsers correctly and some it didn't. So when you came over to GNC yesterday, I had a big black mark over the top of the GNC logo. And for some of you that came early in the day, there was a pop-up that was asking you to consider submitting something to your congressional rep. But I had some information at the top of the page that had some banners and some info that was basically sharing some information with you. Those of you who came over to Geek News Central yesterday. But it appears that the Online Piracy Act has gotten some very interesting people opposing it. Ron Paul, which we all kind of expect to have been opposing this from the beginning, has been. Daryl Issa has come out, which is kind of interesting. But he's told the Hill newspaper that the House of Representatives Anti-Piracy Act has no chance of passage. And even more interesting is Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat of California, I believe, has come out and said that she's opposed to it, too. So you know, it's interesting how this is going to go down, because the hearings that they had were largely a promotion fest by, you know, a lot of heavy hitters in space. And the only heavy hitter that they had in the hearings yesterday, in the 3.5 hours worth of hearings, was a Google lawyer that basically opposed SOPA and, you know, basically was saying, you know, this is, you got to throw this out. Now, some companies yesterday, or actually today, and I don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal anymore, or the New York Times, took out a full page article, advertisement saying, hey, we're against SOPA and here's why. So yesterday was kind of like this big day for the internet to be able to try to protest this. And the folks over at Tumblr really went big, and their actions resulted in like 80,000 plus people calling their congressional reps, and there was millions of people that actually had emails sent and letters written and phone calls made. So there was a huge success yesterday by turning out people. And I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't know that midday. I saw the hoopla going on, and they've been doing other stuff. And I'm like, how did I miss this? But anyway, that is what happened yesterday with SOPA. So we'll see where this thing goes. It still has a huge probability of passage. But I'm hoping that because of this outcry and everyone saying, hey, let's clean this thing up, let's put some provisions in there that people are worried about. And, you know, if you're going to pass this thing, at least, you know, take out the most damaging stuff that, you know, ultimately could hurt companies like mine. And ISPs and companies like Google and Yahoo. So we'll see where this goes. But only time will tell. But it's not too late. Call your congressional rep. Put the word out on the street, okay? All right, let's move topics here. Black Friday's coming, right? Week from tomorrow? You know, Black Friday is a day to sleep in. You know, you've had your turkey. Of course, those of you that are outside the United States, Thanksgiving is a week from today. And we tend to pig out. We have we cook turkey. We have mashed potatoes with gravy. We have all kinds of nice vegetables. We have pumpkin pie. We have cranberries, all these, you know, nice rolls with jam. You know, it's just huge pig out day of feast. It's just, you know, it's our big meal day of the year, one of really a couple. And, you know, usually it ends up with us watching a lot of football or whatever else may be on. And then about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone starts getting nervous because the stores are going to open. And this year, they're opening up record early. And people are actually pissed because they are. And I guess some stores are going to start opening at like 9 o'clock in the evening on Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, the dishes aren't even done yet. People are going to go shopping. And I know many of you are going to be on the road next week and you're not going to be listening to podcasts. I hope you take me in your mobile device next week, because the show will go on. We won't do a show Thursday night for Thanksgiving, but we'll have one Monday night. So you have something to take with you through while you're driving to your relative's house. But people are already camping out at like Best Buy for Black Friday. Huh? Camping out for Black Friday. It's the 17th, people. You have got to be kidding me. Apparently, people down in Florida don't know that there's such a thing as the internet. But a Best Buy location, where is it, Boca Raton? This gal set up a tent. And she's working on a stakeout strategy with three other families, going to multiple stores. Is it that big of savings? It can't be that big. Oh my gosh. It's a little bit less expensive. But I guess if you're in a budget and you have nothing to do and you can sit out and camp out for a week instead of work. Do people work anymore? I see people out and about on work days. I'm like, are they working? It blows me away. But anyway, Yep, people are in line right now. Whew. No turkey for them. Hey, this is cool. Geeks, would you love to build one of these? Remember the original lunar rover? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Check this out. You now can download the original lunar rover manual. This is a handbook that dates back to 1971, and it has a working knowledge of Apollo equipment. Cool. So now the question is, who's going to build one? Who's going to build one of these? I bet you someone will take these drawings and build them one for themselves. Make a great doom buggy, wouldn't it? Of course, in today's world, they would make us put a roll bar on it and all kinds of other stuff. But anyway, they've got all the drawings. And, you know, it would have been cool. Been in NASA back, and they say, you know, I want you to make us a doom buggy for the moon. But anyway, very, very cool. And, you know, it worked well 328,000 miles away. All right, how many of you ordered the Nook? Some people got hands on it, and it's, you know, I'm going to show you the big difference here. It's very obvious when you look at this picture. For those of you that are watching, it's obviously the screen's bigger. And after having, been on the iPad, it's definitely that extra screen space really makes a difference. Now, did they just trick it to make it look bigger? If you're looking at it, if you slide this down, maybe the screen is about the same size. It's definitely about the same thickness, but maybe just the way they designed the glass, it makes it look bigger. Because I'm looking at it now, and the screen doesn't extend down into the part of the screen that looks like there's supposed to be glass there. They definitely don't have the aesthetics like Apple does, that's for sure. But pretty positive reviews so far on the $249 Nook. How many of you are going out and getting one of those? And why did you pick that over the Kindle Fire? And some industry news here. Mac is making a move in the enterprise. It grew 44% in quarter three. This is big. So check this out. The Mac's growth versus market growth by segment of September 2011. If you look at very large businesses, Mac grew 56.7% by market versus 19.2% for the rest of the market. But overall, the average was 24.6% growth as compared to 5.3% for the rest of the marketplace. So definitely Apple's doing something big here. 44%. Where do they show that? 44% is in small and large business. No, excuse me. It's an average. So very large businesses, 56. Large business, 62. Medium business, 41. And small business, 41, and small office, 37. So I guess they averaged that out to come up with 44%. So pretty awesome that Mac is making more headway here. So that should make some of the IT folks a little bit more, give them a little more headache. But it's obvious that IT departments are starting to let more Macs through, which is new. And that hasn't been the case in the past. But this has got to worry Microsoft, because Microsoft has dominated the enterprise for so many years that if Apple start to make that type of headway, they're in big trouble. Well, another big person at TechCrunch has bit the dust here. TechCrunch CEO reportedly out after clashing with Arianna Huffington. Apparently, she's out of there. So this is big news. Now, this hasn't been confirmed, but apparently Business Insider is saying that, of course, AT&T gives me, I'm coming to Forbes site. Oh, it's just ridiculous. Big ad on the page, AT&T ad nonetheless. But anyway, and of course, then it's got one of these ads that fills up the full top part of the page. Now see, it shrinks. Now it changes again. Okay, so Insider TechCrunch CEO Heather Hardy, a former News Corp executive who joined TechCrunch 5 years ago, has basically bailed the standoff between Arianna Huffington and Arrington, obviously produced some pretty bad vibes, and it's rolled over into Heather Hardy. So she's sounds like she's out of there. And that's a curious development here. Lots of AOL people bouncing. And they've lost some other folks here. Over the past 6 months, over 50% of their executive team at AOL has left. And it seems like the software guys are not real happy with the sales guys. And that has been part of the exodus out of AOL. AOL so wanting to be a media company that they've apparently ignored stuff like apps and channels and different kinds of things. So the people that are behind that are saying, adios, we're out of here. And that can't bode well for AOL over the long term. See if I can say the right word here tonight. So, you know, I've never been a big AOL fan, I'll be honest with you. I don't own any stock in AOL. I would never get, you know, it's one of those companies that I just think is ultimately doomed. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they've got a long-term good business model. It's always been too hokey, and they just never have been focused. One thing that Google is doing is Google is focusing on Android.com, and they overhauled Android.com with a focus on consumer friendliness. Now, let me go ahead and bring this up. I'm just reading the headline here from one of the sites. We'll bring Android.com up. So they're showing Android with ice cream sandwich. They've got a place here to explore what's new, so you can actually see what's been updated and introduced and what's been changed and different things that you can do with the phone now. So they've done, you know, looks like they've done a nice job here in working on the marketing on this device. Now, one thing that is, that I'll be honest with you about the Android that sucks is you can't take a screen cap with the device. It's so easy to take a screen capture with an iPad. And I mean, I spent like 30 minutes last night trying to figure out how to take a screen cap with the Kindle. And I finally had to take my iPhone and take a picture of the stupid thing in order to get a screen cap. I guess there's some app you can run to do that, but it should have been built into the device. But Google's updated Android.com and to basically give people a better indication of what the device can do. And to hopefully woo you into buying your next Android phone. Let's see here. Los Angeles Times. You're going to love this. This is where the right hand and the left hand don't quite know what they're sharing with one another. Los Angeles Times. Here's the headline. Google Plus continues battle with fading user interest, data says. Says one of technology's big unresolved dramas, whether Google can still cut into the giant social networking lead now held by Facebook, or if its Google Plus service is already sunk. Now, they go in and show how supposedly the usage has been, but and they basically kind of give this indication that the service utilization is dropping off. Well, I'm looking at a chart they have right on their own page. I'm going to show you this chart. So the headline doesn't even go against what they're showing here. So here we are. I'm going to show you the chart. All right. It shows a peak. Things have peaked up. People just jumped on when they opened it up. Of course, it's dropped off, but yet it continues to kind of climb. It's you know, it had a little bit of peak there. Then it went down, but now it's climbing again. So they're saying, does this fading user interest? Well, I'm looking at the current trend. It's definitely not a fading interest. But if I go over to an article that was written by Hitwise over at weblogs.hitwise.com, now check this out. Look at their little chart that they have. They say that Google records its third, oh, let me flip that over for you. Google records its third biggest week since launch. So, of course, again, we see the upward trend. They had that big hit when they opened it up. than a drop-off, and still, this is a weekly percentage of returning visits to Google+. So what they're saying is that on total U.S. visits for the week ending November 12th received more than 6.8 million total U.S. visits. Growth represents a 5% increase versus a previous week and a 25% increase compared to a month ago. The recent growth could possibly be attributed to several new announcements that came out recently. The top 2 weeks overall forecast, the top 2 weeks for overall visits to Google Plus took place when the service opened to all users, and the week directly after it, of course. So we kind of would know that. But, they continue to see good growth. But here, you do a comparison. You look at the New York LA Times article, and they're saying that Google continues battle with fading user interest. Well, I don't agree. I think that the folks over at the weblogs.hitwise.com got it right. And here's what it really boils down to. What are you getting out of it? And I know what I'm getting out of it. I'm getting a lot of cool links to stuff, insight stuff, no junk, no crap, I'm going to the dentist. I'm not getting that kind of stuff. I'm getting insightful stuff, getting some weird gift stuff where people are putting up. And every once in a while, someone tries to sneak in some adult stuff, just like any other site. But other than that, good conversation. Better than anything I've ever had on Facebook. I put something on Facebook and it's just like languishes. I put something up intelligent on Google Plus and it's 10, 20, 30, 40 comments deep. I go to bed and I wake up in the morning, there's a whole bunch of, more responses. Never have seen that on Twitter, never seen that on Facebook, but it's kind of a nerds hanging out, I guess. And if it ends up being a nerd hangout, hallelujah, I'm cool with that. Google may not want it to be just a nerd hangout, but, we've already got like 800 people following the Geek News Central page and only really linked to it once. And I haven't done a lot with it yet. So, that's pretty impressive in itself. So are you getting anything out of Google Plus? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Over in Ars Technica. Interesting development going on. People are so worried about this Stop Online Piracy Act that what's going on is there's been about 4,000, there's some folks that are setting up an alternate DNS. So what they've done is a group looking to circumvent the threat of domain name blocking and censorship are creating a new internet top-level domain, TLD, outside of ICANN control, which is interesting. It's called .bit. The effort currently uses proxies, cryptography, and small collection of DNS servers to create a section of the internet domain addresses where domains can be provisioned, moved, and traded anonymously. So far, now this is kind of weird. This is pretty interesting stuff. So far, over 4,000 domains have been registered within .bit. Top-level domain, those domains are visible only to people who use a proxy service that draw address information from the project's distributed database or those using one of the project's two public DNS servers. So it's not exactly a dark net, but it is kind of like some of the anonymizing networks. And they're using some peer-to-peer technology to do what they're doing here. But essentially what they've done is they're creating a new layer. Now, that's not a completely foolproof system, obviously. But they're using bitcoins and other stuff to pay for stuff. So it is kind of interesting here what they've done and trying to basically hold their middle finger out at the government, say, you can try, but you're maybe not going to have much success. We'll see. We'll see how effective it ends up being. All right. This next article is for those of you that live up in old Canada. And I'm a little bit behind on this article. So I'm going to kind of talk directly out of the notes in our Ars Technica blog post. So, and we've covered this a little bit in the last shows, but I haven't gotten too deep into it. So to recap, sorry, I'm yawning on you here. For the last year, the Canadian Radio Television Telecommunications Committee, CRTC, has been at the center of a raging debate over the future of internet access pricing. Now, what happened here was the CRTC approved a shift to usage-based wholesale rates for competitive ISPs, which had a furious backlash, causing the Canadian government to pressure the CRTC to take another look at the policy. So what's going on with this, and this particular scheme was abandoned in the United States a number of years ago, but what they've ruled, the CRTC has ruled now, which is similar to what the CRTC has similar powers to what the FCC has, is they've tried to split the difference with a capacity-based usage model. Now, what they're saying here is under this model, and I'm going to read this directly from the ARS site, under this model, competitive ISPs must decide at the start of each month how much network capacity it wants at each point where it interfaces with an incumbent's network. If it overestimates its traffic needs, it will pay more than it needs to. If it underestimates, its customers will suffer from increased congestion. Now, opinmedia.ca, an activist organization that was a critic of the original usage-based pricing proposal, is jubilant off the charts. Now, big ISPs are not. Bill Sanford, president of the Canadian Network Operations Consortium, which represents small ISPs, warned that the new rates announced by the CRTC could raise independence costs and force some of them out of business. So ISPs, he says, ISPs need to compete to give consumer choice. And if these rates hikes means they can't, they're going to be less choice, he told the Financial Post. So what does that mean for all of you north of the border here? You're going to have to tell me exactly what this means. It's all about peering and the cost of, you know, basically interconnections and using other people's lines and all that. I think what it means is maybe your costs maybe go up a little bit, but you're going to have much more freedom and there's not going to be this, you know, bandwidth caps may not be as effective or be as part of the mix as it was before on the previous decision or the previous announcement. So anyway, we'll have that link up in the show notes for y'all to check out. And if anyone's up north of the border there can give me some feedback on this and what they're covering up there, I definitely would appreciate it. Hey, remember we talked about those strange symbols in the Gobi Desert that was imaged by Google Maps? Well, it appears the grids of zigzagging lines seen in two of the image are some sort of spy satellite calibration targets that the Chinese are using. And apparently they found some similar types of images that the U.S. uses here in the United States. So so I guess it's some sort of calibration stuff for the Chinese spy satellites. They're looking down into our backyards. All right, hey, on the moon, this is pretty cool. They found a moon hole. Does that sound right? How about a cave deep enough to contain a small human base? Apparently, the Indian Space Research Organization discovered a gigantic underground chamber near the moon's equator. Basically, it says that the cave is more than 1 mile long and 393 feet wide. So how do they know it's that deep? How do they look inside it? It's a cave, right? So this is like the second one. Well, maybe it's where the UFOs have been hanging out. But the Indian researchers have published a paper detailing their findings and talking about the possibility of making this a giant underground vault as a future human base. Well, I'm sure we'll want to stay on the moon. That seems like a lovely place to go vacation. I say not. Anyway, I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Hey, can you believe it? Sony PlayStation 3 is 5 years old. Doesn't it feel like that's a long time for a gadget? A little long in the tooth? That's pretty amazing. 5 years for PlayStation 3. Come a long way. I think Xbox is eating its lunch a little bit now. course, Xbox has been a long time too. All right, PayPal, Facebook app lets you send money and greetings to friends. Only takes 2.9% of your free of the money you send. So if you need to send somebody some cash, you can do that via Facebook now. Send them a little money, a little bit of a way to do that. You can always send me a little money on Facebook. We'd love to have you guys send me over a little cash from your PayPal accounts. That's a great way to support the show. You know, look what's in your PayPal account. You got a little balance in there? Throw it to Geek News Central. Put it against our fundraising effort to help pay for our support staff. And, you know, can you do it right from Facebook if you want? So anyway, you can send a little e-card with some money in there, okay? And be happy to take your cash off your hands. As the President Bush and President Clinton said during the Haiti situation, he basically he said, "Don't send your blankets, don't send your food, just send cash. We need your cash." And some of you that listen to a certain show will know where I kind of picked up on, copied that. I totally have, totally stole it. It's too good not to. All right, let's talk about a few articles on Geek News Central. You may have noticed, why in the heck, Todd, is there a bunch of Ford car articles on GNC? Well, you guys know I went out to Ford. I got to see all these cool cars and the cool technology, and I can't afford to get one of them right now, but they've got some cool stuff. So let's go start off talking about the Ford announcing the green, yes, the green Escape Focus, and they've really focused on the environment with this. They've really tried to make this car more environmentally friendly. And here's something that's cool. If you go buy a Ford Escape in 2012 and you get done driving that thing in 2032, or how many of years you're going to drive it before you sell it or send it off to the junkyard, 85% of the vehicle is recyclable. So that's pretty cool. And they've used a lot of recyclable materials in the car. Some of the stuff in the seats are made of soy foam. The carpet's made up of about 25%, 20 ounces of recycled plastic bottles. The dash insulation is made up of from 100% recycled tires. So it goes on and on and on. Now, there's a few things that they can't recycle. When we were talking to the Ford reps, there was some stuff in the motors that had certain types of treatments done to them that was not recyclable. But he said, who knows what's going to happen in a number of years when, you know, recycled technology gets better. They may increase the amount of stuff that can be recycled. Now, for those of you that live in California, you guys see Flexes all over the place. And the Ford Flex, I mean, when I first saw the Ford Flex and I drove one as a rental car, you know, I kind of laughed because I said, man, I'm driving a bus. Because it kind of looked like a bus, you know, kind of boxy. Well, the new Ford Flex, it's got some lines now. It's more round. It's still a little bit square, but they've got some new lines on this thing. And they've really done some cool stuff with the Flex. And this car has got some pretty cool features. This car is basically the most popular. They sell the most of these in California for whatever reason. And check this out. What they were telling us was that folks that have upper end vehicles, Volvos, Land Rovers, some upper end SUVs, have been going into the Flex because of it's a smaller vehicle. It gets better gas mileage. It has a lot of fantastic features that, from technology to safety to the engines to all the stuff that goes along. So they're moving into the Flex. Pretty amazing here, you know. Instead of having the tank, the soccer mom's driving a Flex. So it's pretty cool. Plus, they got lots of power. Don't ever buy any of these vehicles without EcoBoost. If you're going to buy a Ford, spend a little extra money, get the EcoBoost, you are going to love it. Because when you get out there in that pass lane and you need to go and you put the hammer down, that EcoBoost will set you back in the seat, get you around the vehicle you need to pass. This is the only way to go if you're going to go with a new Ford product. All right. For you, the gearheads, muscle heads out there, I'm going to tell you what happened to us. And this is what was cool. So we went to, and I told you part of this already, but I didn't tell you everything. We went to the track at Ford that night, the first night I was in Dearborn. And they took us in, and, you know, kind of they fed us, and we were looking at something. They pre-briefed us, and they had us walk outside. It was pitch black, and we could hear in the background, vroom, 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 vroom. And I'm hearing power. I'm hearing an 8-cylinder. I'm hearing good power, right? And they turn on the lights, and they pull up these 3 Mustangs. Oh, my goodness. They had the straight Ford Mustang, they had a Boss 302, and the Shelby GT500. Now, a couple of these vehicles are probably going to be beyond my price tag, but the Shelby GT500, oh my, they didn't let us look at it too long. They drove it off, and they brought the Boss 302 and a couple of the Mustangs in, but they showed us a video of running the Shelby GT500. On a track, and they had Shelby was there himself. Oh, what a vehicle. Now, the cool thing that they're doing here is with these performance vehicles, they're going to be having some performance technology in as well. They've got accelerometers, braking performance. They've got all kinds of time results. They've actually, you can time yourself in 0 to 30, 0 to 60, 0 to 100. But really, the Boss is back. It's paying homage to the 70s legend, the Ford Boss 302 Mustang, and it's a car that won really the 1970 Trans Am Championship is back, and it's the same color. It's amazing. The Boss 302, you know, this is just amazing, going to be a cool car. But the GT500, this Ford Shelby GT500, which will claim to the most power production V8 in the world, pumping out 650 horsepower from the 5.8-liter supercharged V8 engine, is just going to rock your world. Now, I should have had some pictures up of this. And they gave us a whole bunch of pictures in the press pass. But this thing, just let me bring you down here and show you the GT. It exudes power. And I'm sure the gas mileage should go along with it. But those of you that are Mustang fans, you're going to love this vehicle. So I spent a bunch of time on this stuff, but I want to thank Ford for bringing me out. I got to see the Ford Touch stuff. I got to see all the updates to all the stuff we've covered on the website here recently on Ford. They've really done a great job with the technology. And, you know, that's the thing that I really kind of focus on is the stuff that is inside the vehicle. Now, they've invited me back in December. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. I'm trying to see if I can work it into my schedule. But they invited me back for one more look at some stuff. And so I guess we're on their good list. And, you know, I just wanted to talk about them. To see that, see that Shelby pull up there was pretty cool. And, you know, is if I could afford it, I'd own one, you know, and I'd probably end up getting way too many tickets, but, a beautiful vehicle. And it's going to be probably a beautiful price and a lot of zeros on that in order to afford to own one of those. But, someone will have one. All right. Switching gears back to full tech here, Roku coming to UK and Canada. So that's coming in early 2012. So you're going to get the Roku there, and then you'll be able to get access to our channel, which is awesome. So this is a big deal, and we're looking forward to seeing the Roku coming to Canada and the UK. Boxy has added limited TV support. We talked about this already, that there was a plug-in coming, and they've released that pre-order, $49.99. You're going to be able to get line-of-sight television with this. So this, for those of you that cut the cord, this is a great way to extend you know, your cord cutting onto a traditional television signal coming over the air. It's a big deal here. Now, along with that, viewers turning into online video for a long time. We've seen Nielsen's reporting Wednesday that over a 3-year period, the number of online viewers has grown 26%, which is a nice shift. And they're watching a lot more stuff online. It's been a huge time streaming content like this. And I want to thank all of you that are doing that. And of course, watching the show live and on your Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and so forth. There's a good article on BothSidesOfTheTable.com talking about 10 signs internet TV is ready to disrupt the industry. I'm not going to go through this, but for those of you interested, I'll have it up in the show notes for you. Also, if you're an Apple user, the Gmail app for iOS is available in the App Store again. It's back out and available, so you can get it for your iPhone, your iPad, your iTouch. So it's available. You can re-download that. I don't know exactly why it was taken off before, but go out and get it before Apple drops a bomb on them again. And the last couple articles, I don't want to go into this. I'm tired of talking about music rights. It just seems like it's a never-ending story. But in good news, the Soyuz has docked with the International Space Station, and those guys are doing good. So I'm glad the Soviets were able to get our astronauts up there safely. And along with that, NASA has completed the highest resolution map ever of the moon. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Let's look here and see if I've got anything in the email. I think we had some stuff come in. I need to look this here. When was the last show? The last show was on the 14th. Oh, yeah, we had a couple of emails come in. Oh, parents, pay attention here. My wife had gotten the cell bill on T-Mobile adjusted, and I was paying a certain amount, boom, 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 every month. And all of a sudden, the bill went up $9.99. And I couldn't figure out why. So I logged into T-Mobile. I'm going through, and all of a sudden, I see this download charge on my son's phone. And I went over and I was digging in. I had to dig through two or three menus. They didn't make it easy for me to find this. And all of a sudden, I found this $9.99 charge from sendme.com. Sendmemobile.com. Apparently, they sent him a text. He responded to it, and that automatically opted him in for a $9.99 month fee. Now, I'm going to check back from these, and I just worded that over the air, and you guys know what I just said, but got to keep a child safe. They're sending me back like $100. Now, how I missed it, I have no clue. Go into your cable bill on your kids' accounts, in your mobile bill on your kids' accounts, and make sure that these idiots, and they've been, I guess, all kinds, you do some research on these guys. There's not a lot positive said on the internet about them. And they really go after young people with texting plans. And I don't know how I missed that the account had went up, but I was doing some bill comparison. And I wrote them a pretty scathing letter. And they came right back. So, yeah, we're going to give you your money back. No problem. But sendmemobile.com. And look for that charge. And make sure you haven't been getting this $9.99 charge. Just look on your bill first. I guess I haven't been paying enough attention to it. Just been blindly paying the bill. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know on that. All right, got an email here from Ross. He says, "Hey, Todd, I was using a free backup service about a month ago that's no longer available. Please note the email I received from LiveDrive as Backify is now asking for money." He says, Dear Ross, we are writing you regarding Backify.com, who you recently created an online backup account with. Backify.com was a reseller for LiveDrive. LiveDrive provided the technology service behind the product called Backify. We're writing to inform you that Backify is no longer a LiveDrive reseller, and the services that they purchased from our company on your behalf have been terminated. If you're using a service provided by Backify.com and powered by LiveDrive, then this service will now have stopped working. We'd like to also advise you that we received a number of complaints about Backify.com from their customers and from industry organizations. We'd like to advise you not to provide any credit card information to Backify.com. And if you have provided credit card information to Backify.com, then we'd suggest contacting your card provider. So here it is, folks. If you've been doing anything with Backify.com, from Live Drive Support, you need to get on the phone to your credit card company. And I guess Backify has done some stuff that it wasn't overboard, apparently. I don't know exactly what everything transpired, but they are no longer a company that probably you want to do business with, okay? All right, that's it tonight for... Let me see if I had anything come in late before we started the show. No, I think I'm good. And oh, I had one voicemail. Let me see what we've got here. And I'll play this now. Oh, no. Oh, how come that didn't play? Let's try that again. Let's remove these. That's a pre-show music that you guys don't get to hear. Now let me play this. Oh, it wouldn't play. That's weird. Okay, well, we had must be some corruption there. Well, I apologize. And actually, I had listened to it on the automated system, and I could barely tell what it was. So it must be we didn't get a good recording. Whoever called into the voicemail hotline, please do it again and leave the message again. 619-342-7365. Again, it's been my pleasure bringing the show tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, follow me on Twitter at Geek News. And we appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll see you here on Thursday for another show. And if you can, you know, help us out. Help us support us for CES 2012. Help us take care of our support staff. That's what your dollars will go towards, is paying the bills for the support staff. And again, don't forget about those two new sponsorship levels and what we're going to provide for you here on the show. It's been my pleasure. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.